It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Ford Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Welcome, everybody. Insight. January, what's the date, Neil?
18th. Yes.
My mom's birthday.
Oh, Joanne, yes. Happy heavenly birthday to
happy
that beautiful
happy heavenly birthday, sweetheart.
Lady.
Miss you every day.
She's awesome.
She was a neat lady, I'll tell you what.
She absolutely was.
She ruled the roost from her kitchen table, and if you wanted an opinion, you'd get it from her.
And sometimes if you didn't want her opinion,
yes,
you know it's coming.
Yes. But miss you, Mom. Happy birthday. And welcome, everybody, to this kind of dreary, rainy Wednesday night. And we have in studio the guy perfect for a night like that.
Dreary and rainy? And
yes, dreary, rainy. Well, okay. Because what color do you think of when you think of dreary and rainy?
Gray.
Gray. And we've got in studio Sheriff Jeff Gray from Mercer County, Fort Recovery, of course. A new former policeman here. Jeff, welcome, fella.
Well, thanks for having me on. I always enjoy coming down here, although you guys do scare me a little bit.
Well, Bill's not here, so that'll help some.
Yeah, that helps.
Okay, he'll promise he won't ask you any hard questions, and he'll ask you five of them.
That's right.
And we do appreciate that our very first Insight show 8 years ago, back in December,
at
the bowling alley, you were Bill Stogler's guest on our very first Insight show, and you know, that gave us a little bit of legitimacy right there that if the sheriff's going to come talk to us, he must not be completely crazy.
And after getting interviewed by Bill, I'm surprised I ever came back.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
We are kind of, too.
So Jeff, I tell you what, you have you here for one particular purpose. One, it is always great to talk to you to catch up on what is going on in the county. We can talk about the recently passed new levy that you passed in November. Yep. And then you also shared a bit of news the past week or so. Why don't you kind of share that?
Well, Kay and I have been talking about this for a couple of years, and you know, as much as I love my job and as much as I'm going to miss it, you know, I'm a firm believer in elected officials have to do their time and then pass it on to somebody else and let somebody else do it. So it's time for me to retire. I'm getting tired, running out of ideas. There's things I want to do with my life. Kay and I have never been up in the New England states. We like to go to Florida a lot. In fact, while I'm thinking about it, Jim Zeringer, I understand you're listening from Naples. I got your text, and I might take you up on that. But back to the story, Kay.
Now, if I remember, that text wasn't specific about who was coming. So he did say, come on down, there's plenty of room. And I think 500 people are willing to go down and visit you, Jim. So
yeah, it's going to be a crowd. But Kay and I have never been up to the New England states, and we thought, you know, we might just take a month and take off and drive up through there. And there's just things like that we want to do. Nothing crazy. Just It's a place neither one of us have ever been.
That's on me and Marsha's list, too, of things to do. I mean, yeah,
just that kind of stuff. And you know, I wasn't sure I was ready to be a grandpa when the first one was born. It didn't take very long. It took about 30 seconds, and yeah, I realized I was. And now I've got six grandkids. They're at that fun age from 3 months to 8 years. And so I want to spend a lot of time with them, too, while I've got it.
Yeah. Yep. Well,
let me just ask you real quick. You were talking about taking a month and going up there. Do you have self-imposed or legally imposed amount, longest amount of time you're allowed to be gone from your jurisdiction on vacation at a time?
Well, actually, the law says I have to be in the office one day a month. Now, it doesn't define day, so I think I could go in at a quarter till midnight on January 31st.
Yeah.
And leave at a quarter after midnight on February 1st, and I cover 2 months.
That's, 2 days. Oh, yeah.
And,
yep.
And that, right. That certainly does not get you reelected. And
well, if you're not doing anything, you're not bothering anybody, maybe they will reelect you. Let everybody do whatever they want.
Right.
Moonshiners and whatever they want to do, have at it, boys.
Moonshiners.
And when I talk about going away, up there
like
for
Frank Deuce.
Yeah.
Of course he doesn't sell his, but
when I talk about, you know, going up the New England states for a month, I'm talking about in 2 years after I retire.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm not talking about now. I hope that people feel like I've given it my best effort, and I owe them 2 more years. I mean,
yeah.
I owe it to them, and I've got a member of my command staff that's going to be running to take my place. You know, I'm going to do everything I can to help him because I think he'll be a great sheriff.
So you've said him, so it's not a female.
Correct.
Okay.
Although we have a female that I would say would be very good coming up after him. I mean, she's, and I can see her being the first female sheriff in Mercer County.
Yep.
So, you know, my next couple of years is really going to be working hard with him, going over budget things and going on, so that hopefully he wins the election and then hopefully he hits the ground running. You know, when I come in, there was a lot of, I want to say, split in the sheriff's office. Some people wanted me to win. Some people wanted the other guy to win. And it took a little while to bring everybody together. Hopefully, you know, there won't really be any unknowns if he wins for the people that work at the sheriff's office. We all know him. He gets along with everybody. So hopefully the anxiety of the people that work there won't be there with, you know, new guy coming in. Oh, no, what's going to happen? What's he going to change? And I'm sure...
Change the name on the door.
Yeah, right. and I'm sure he'll change some things, and he should. I mean, he's got to make it his.
Well, like you said, you know, when you get to a certain age, you know, you don't have as many new ideas. And even our new ideas at our age aren't as new as they may need to be at times, you know.
Well, you keep saying at our age. I'm 29. How old are you?
29 and how many months?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm right at that.
Yeah. Okay.
So, well, I tell you what, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about, how we got to this point and kind of your history in law enforcement, and then kind of your legacy from you here on out and some questions like that. So we'll be back right after this.
Brick Street Tavern has some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesdays, you can get our awesome boneless wings for just 75 cents each and a domestic draft for only $1.50. Wednesday night, you can get our delicious grilled or spicy chicken salad for just $6. And Thursdays, it's our crispy chicken wrap with fries for only $6.50. On Friday and Saturday evenings, you can get a sirloin steak for $14.99 or a four-piece chicken dinner for $8.99. And both include our salad bar, your choice of potatoes, and a dinner roll. Be sure to stop in at any time and try a slice of our delicious homemade pie. For great home cooking, stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. K&L Tractor is proud to be the authorized Kloss hay and forage dealer for this part of the Midwest. Whether you need a Kloss baler, hay tool, or forage harvester, K&L Tractor is the place to go. We have the Kloss product you need and the factory-trained technicians to keep you running smooth. So remember, for all your Kloss harvesting needs, shop at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Fort Recovery High School Cheerleading Squad will be holding a Cheerleader Fun Day for kids from kindergarten through 6th grade. This fun day will be on Saturday, January 28th from 8:30 a.m. until noon, with sign-in beginning at 8 a.m. in the Commons. The cost is $20 per child and includes a t-shirt if you sign up by Monday, January 9th. Fort Recovery students through 6th grade receive their sign-up sheets at school, and the sign-up sheets are also available on the Fort Recovery Cheerleading Facebook page. The kids will learn chants, cheers, and a dance from the high school cheerleaders, and there will be a parents' preview at noon, and the kids will perform at halftime of the boys' JV game that night in the Fort Sight Fieldhouse. This is an event that the kids and our fans look forward to every year, so be sure to get your kids signed up for this fun cheerleading camp taking place on Saturday, January 28th. Be sure to sign up by January 9th to get your t-shirt. Fort Recovery Community Club's annual Fish Fry is coming up on Saturday, January 21st from 4 to 7 p.m. Stop out at the Progressive Sportman Club on St. Peter Road for their famous fish with all the fixins, French fries, coleslaw, baked beans, and more. It's only $12 for all you care to eat, and carryouts will be available, and it's just $7 for kids 8 and under. It's an annual wintertime treat that everybody looks forward to. The Community Club's annual All-You-Can-Eat Fish Fry at the Progressive Sportman Club on Saturday, January 21st from 4 to 7 p.m.
We're back. Insight. Talking to Sheriff Jeff Gray about his tenure as sheriff and how he got to where he was. So Jeff, let's just talk. So at what was your first law enforcement job?
Joe Gilmore ran a basic training academy to build up his reserve force. And so in 1980, I went to the basic training academy and was a reserve, which is a deputy sheriff, but volunteers.
Yep.
At the sheriff's office. The real upside to that, and I know she's listening, that's where I met Kay.
All right.
So
that's awesome.
Was Kay in the class too?
No, Kay was a dispatcher.
Oh.
And, I'm not quite sure what she thought of me when I come in. But, when you bug them enough and you ask them enough, they eventually go out with you just so you don't quit bugging them.
Yes, just to leave them alone.
That might be why she buried me. So she goes, hey, he's not going to leave me alone. I guess I'm just going to have to put up with him.
Yeah. So so you started out. So was it a thought of yours when you graduated high school that you wanted to get into law enforcement?
No. What happened was I had a restaurant in Salina, Pizza Peddler, and so we had to visit, and deputy sheriffs used to stop in and eat. So I got to know a lot of them. And then they would, Joe Gilmore would let, and we still do this, you had to sign a waiver in case something happened, but they'd let you come in and ride. So I went and rode with my buddies that you came in and bought pizza from me, and I just really developed an interest in it. And then when Joe was going to start the reserve thing up, I went to the academy and stuff, and then we got rid of the restaurant, and next thing I know, I went from the reserves, from volunteering on the reserves, to Salina Police Department, took their civil service test. I worked there for 3 years, and then I had a friend who was a police chief in Wapak who talked me into going over and taking their civil service test. So I worked in Wapak for 4 years. And then Carl Eicher, who was sheriff, him and I went to basic training together. So he went to that reserve class with me. And so this is like 11 years later. And he called me at WAPOC, wanted me to. And by that point, I had, in my mind, got to the point that I knew I wanted to be sheriff someday.
Yep.
While I didn't figure I was going to get elected sheriff in a county I didn't grow up in.
Yep.
And Carl had called me, and he asked me to come back and be chief deputy at the sheriff's office. And so I come back and was there. And then when Paul Gray got elected sheriff, then John Wolf, who was the mayor here in Fort Recovery, he called me up one day.
Yeah, you ran against him, correct?
As a write-in.
Yes.
Because he beat Eicher. Mm-hmm. In the primary. So the only way that I could run, you couldn't get your name on the ballot after the primary. So,
yeah. And you weren't going to put it on against Eicher.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And then John Wolf, who was mayor down here, I remember him calling me and saying, after I lost that write-in campaign in 96, and he said, hey, I want to talk to you. Jim Champ had retired from down here, so you had an opening for police chief. And I remember saying, because, I mean, obviously Fort Recovery doesn't pay as much as I was making at the sheriff's office,
yeah,
especially as chief deputy. I said, John, you can't afford me. And he goes, oh, I got something you want. You need to come down here and talk to me. So I said, okay. And we set up a morning. It was a Saturday morning. It was really snowy. I remember that, driving down from Salina. And we sat down and we talked a little bit about the police department and stuff. And I said, so what is it, what is it that you have that I can't live without? And I don't know how well you guys know John, but he got that big grin on his face. I'll never forget that. And he looks at me, he goes, you're going to run for sheriff again. And I'd kind of like to get you down here and get some things pointed the way we want them here in Fort Recovery. You can probably do that in 4 years. And I know what the sheriff's qualifications are. And this will keep you qualified. And if you don't stay in law enforcement, you won't be qualified to run in 4 years. And you just kind of sit there. And I remember going, I think he's got me. So that's how I ended up down here. But I will tell you this. By the time that 4 years was up, I almost didn't run for sheriff.
Yeah.
I come down here in this community and fell in love with it, and the people were so welcoming, and this is a great, great community. And you know, I say this a lot of times when I'm down here speaking, I'm sheriff because of the people in Fort Recovery. Not only did I learn a lot when I was down here about how the smaller towns operate and how people look at things, but when it came to the election, Fort Recovery, the night I won, Fort Recovery was like the last precincts that were coming in, and I won by such a huge margin in Fort Recovery. That's what put me over the top.
Yeah.
If my opponent would have got that percentage from the area he was in, he would have won.
Yeah.
I won, but it wasn't like 60-40 or anything. And I never will forget that. So Hopefully they voted for me because they liked me and they weren't trying to get rid of me. I'm not sure, but they're always welcoming when I come to Fort Recovery now.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that it wasn't because we were trying to get rid of me. And now if somebody had voted against you, that would have been why.
Yeah.
But
well, I do remember this, and since Jim Zeringer is listening from down in Naples, we'll see if he remembers this. I remember there were two votes down in the Burkittsville area that didn't go my way.
Yeah.
And when I talked to Jim, he was, we got to find out who those two people are. That just really pisses me off. We never did find out who they were.
Well, that's funny. You've probably arrested them before.
Yeah.
So you were first elected
in 2000.
Okay, so you're 22 years. You're just started your 23rd year.
Correct.
And your term ends at the end of 24.
January 5th of 25. The sheriff, okay. A new term always starts on the first Monday of January. So when I got elected in 2000, the first Monday of 2001 was January 1st.
Gotcha.
But the terms always start on the first Monday of January for the sheriff.
Yep. Now, do you get sworn in each time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't.
So we talked about this briefly. Like it seems like a lot of public offices, like the person will decide to retire in the middle of their term, so that they can kind of set the stage for who's to follow. Yet you're not choosing to do that. Why is that?
Well, I am trying to set the stage because I'm working with somebody and trying to get them ready to go. But I don't like it when people leave in the middle of a term. You know, I feel like when every 4 years when I'm out campaigning and I'm asking people to vote for me, I'm making a commitment to you. I want to be your sheriff for the next 4 years. And I feel like I need to honor that commitment. I've always said I won't leave in the middle of a term unless, you know, I mean, heaven forbid I would get sick, something would happen where I couldn't, or somebody in my family got sick. But people would understand that.
Yeah.
But this musical chair stuff and everything that everybody does, I just don't like that. Yeah. I feel like, no, make up your mind what you want to do. And if you want to run for a different office, that's fine, but finish the term of the office you're in and then go run. Yeah. You know, the other thing that to me is not fair, you know, since I'm elected, I don't have set hours. I decide when I go to work, you know, what time I go in the morning, what time I go home at night, whether I even work tomorrow or whether I want to work Saturday or when I want to do it. Well, if somebody else runs against me that has a job in the private sector, they don't have that flexibility.
Yeah.
So that's really not fair. And it just seems to me, I mean, I never wanted to lose an election. I wanted to be sheriff all this time I was here, but we have to respect the process.
Sure. So, and this is completely off the wall. So
I'm used to that with you.
So should the sheriff's office, you know, the new legal part of the system be political?
Yeah, absolutely it should. You know, we get a lot of people that, you know, well, the sheriff's political, and that's really not true. You know, in a police department, the police chief answers to the mayor and the safety service director. And the highway patrol, the colonel answers to the director of public safety, who answers to the governor. Now, every 4 years or 8 years, whenever we get a new governor, we get a new colonel of the highway patrol. That's politics.
Yeah.
The sheriff, I have to put my record on the line. I answer to the people of Mercer County. The county commissioners can't tell me what to do. The prosecutor can't tell me what to do. I am an independently elected person. So I only answer to the voters. So we have to listen to the voters and let the voters decide what our priorities are. Where should my priorities be? What is it that the people of Mercer County want me to focus on the hardest? You know, there's a lot of crime out there. And we're focused harder in certain areas, and that's because I'm listening to where the community's directing us.
Yep.
And the other thing that happens, you know, the sheriff, first off, you can't run for sheriff unless you're a cop. Well, in a city or a village, the mayor's the boss. Most of the time, they've never been a cop. And then, now, I don't think this happened, and I'm being honest here, I don't think this happens in Mercer County. At least I haven't run into it. But you do read about it sometimes where the mayor's friend gets in trouble and he stops the cops from investigating it and stuff. Well, the sheriff can come in and do it. I mean, if I want to investigate something, nobody can stop me from doing it. Now, if I do it and the people don't want me to do it, then when I come up for election, they can fire me.
Yeah.
And I've had that conversation with police chiefs before when we have conversations and they want to tease you about elections. And they'll tease me a lot during election year, you know, when you're a little bit nervous and it's like, well, you know. And I always tell them, well, if you were elected, would the people of your town allow you to keep your job or would they fire you?
Yeah.
Every 4 years, you get a chance to fire me. And, you know, in the larger cities, and Salina being a larger city, and Tom Whale's a great guy. He's a good friend of mine. I think he does a great job there. But, you know, they get promoted based on a test. And then when they get their probationary period in, which is a year, they're kind of tenured and it's kind of hard to get rid of.
Yeah.
Well, they have to commit a real crime or something.
Right. I mean, the mayor.
I shouldn't say commit, convicted.
Right. Yeah. The mayor can't just walk in and fire the police chief. But the voters of Mercer County can walk in and fire me every 4 years.
Yep.
So, I mean, and that's a motivator. And I think that's important. I think most sheriffs in the state will tell you that. You know, in 2010, Cuyahoga County, because they had a lot of corruption in government, did a charter form of government, and now the sheriff is appointed by the county administrator. And since 2010, I think they're on their eighth sheriff now.
Wow.
Ooh.
And it's, you know, it's because new county administrator brings his friend in or doesn't like something the sheriff did. So, and I've known a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
That have been appointed. They've been great guys.
Yeah.
I really think the sheriff is the people's voice to law enforcement.
Yeah. So, let's see. Is now a good time for a break?
Yes.
Okay. Let's take a break. And
do you have a teaser?
Back.
You can. You're ready to throw a teaser?
Oh yeah,
I like it.
And yeah, we'll come back and talk about some of the cases that stand out in your mind that you've covered over the last 22 years. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Announcing Open House Week at Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, your local Case IH dealer. It's Wednesday through Saturday, January 25th through the 28th. Open House Week is a great time for savings from our parts department. All parts are discounted. That's farm equipment, lawn and garden, all parts are marked down. And you can pre-order your parts now, and they'll be ready to go when you stop in. Open house at Hall Brothers, your local Case IH dealer, January 25th through the 28th. Stop in and save.
Here's an easy way to feed your family on a busy night. Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them take care of it. Whether you want wings, sandwiches, subs, their fried goodies, or their awesome pizza, just call them and they'll make it for you. Why work hard in the kitchen after a long day when Miracle Lanes is just a phone call away? And you don't want to miss their very popular all-you-can-eat Friday lunch buffet with salad bar, pizza, breadsticks, and boneless wings. And be sure to call them to book your lanes for birthday parties and other occasions. Miracle Lanes, great food and lots of fun. Stop by and see Corey and Jared today. Jay and Mercer County Special Olympics groups are having a joint fundraiser on Saturday, February 4th at Miracle Lanes. Get your four-person team together and get entered now by calling Tom Ramoklis at 419-852-2987, or you can enter at Miracle Lanes. This will be an 8-pin no-tap tournament, and the cost is only $80 for each four-person team, and you'll get 3 games of bowling, and each team will also get a large pizza. Here's a great way to help out our local Special Olympics teams and have fun at the same time. Don't miss out on this fun afternoon of bowling. Saturday, February 4th, Miracle Lanes, 8-pin no-tap bowling tournament, fundraiser for Jay and Mercer County Special Olympics. There will be two shifts, 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock, so get entered early to get the shift that works best for your team by calling 419-852-2987 or just stop out at Miracle Lanes and sign up now. The Fort Recovery Athletic Boosters will be holding a booster membership bash on Friday, January 20th at Miracle Lanes following the boys' basketball game with Marion Local. All current and newly signed up booster members in attendance will receive 2 free drink tokens for that night. If you aren't a member, or if you have friends or family who aren't members but you think they should be, drag them out to the bowling alley after the Marion Local game and get them signed up. Wild Toe and Go tickets will be available, and a 50-50 drawing in Queen of Hearts and other raffles will be going on, too. Get out to Miracle Lanes for the 2nd Annual Athletic Boosters Booster Bash on Friday, January 20th after the Marion Local game, and get yourself and your friends signed up to be members of the Fort Recovery Athletic Boosters.
We're back in sight. Jack and Neil talking to Sheriff Jeff Gray about him now being a lame duck sheriff, okay, which basically means you lost all your clout, right?
Right.
Okay.
So, no, you know what? I mean, you've certainly, over the course of 22 years, you've seen a lot, okay? So, let's start with your first experiences as a sheriff. Okay, was there any oh crap moments where you just didn't realize that that's the type of stuff you'd get involved in?
Well, some of the oh crap moments is people or especially other elected officials that didn't like something that the law required them to do because it wasn't a popular thing, and then they want the sheriff to do it, and it's like, well, number one, I don't want to do it either, and number two, it's not my job. Right here it is in the law that this is what you do, and here's these things that I don't like to do in my job. Now the biggest oh crap moment that I can remember, which was more of an enforcement action. It was the very first, not New Year's Eve of 20 to 21, but of 21, or excuse me, of 2001 to 2002. So it would have been the first New Year's Eve that I was sheriff. It's a really, really cold night, and deputies got called to a house. I'll say in Franklin Township because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but a house in Franklin Township where there were a bunch of underage kids drinking. When the cruisers pulled in, and the kids actually broke windows out of the house, took off, ran out, and it was a rural area, ran out in cornfields and stuff. I mean, the deputies called me and stuff, and I did not sleep that night because I kept thinking, if some kid drank a little too much,
passed out,
they're scared, they run out there and they're passed out in the field,
or just hiding.
Yeah, as cold as it is, they're not going to be with us in the morning.
Yeah.
And of course, some kids were jumping in their cars and taking off. Well, we can't chase them all.
Yeah.
What if they have a wreck? And then we did manage to track down most of the kids over the course of an investigation for a few days. And I remember having a meeting in the courthouse auditorium with a lot of the parents of the kids. And this, I mean, some of it, I was a little bit in disbelief on how they acted. It was like, well, if we have the parents' party upstairs and the kids are downstairs, then is it okay if they're drinking and stuff? It's like, well, they need to be with you. I don't know if that really fits. But so we went through some of that stuff. But I think that really formed some of my opinion with the alcohol, where it's like, okay, is our job to arrest people or keep them safe? When they're running out in the fields when it's 0 degrees, or they're jumping in their cars and taking off, I'm not keeping them safe.
Yeah.
And the goal is to keep them safe. And, so I learned a lot out of that. Like I say, there were some things said in that meeting with the parents where it was like, wow, that's probably not how I would raise my kid. But they're not my kids to raise. Yep. They're yours. And there was also a lot of stuff that was brought up in that meeting that made me think and made us change how we went about doing things. And I think made us a better sheriff's office. And really, and I'm going to knock on wood here, if you look at underage alcohol-related traffic crashes from back in the 90s to where we are today, they've went down.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying kids aren't drinking beer. I'm not saying that at all. They're not driving.
But they know you're going to bust them if you stop them. They're not going to get just going home.
Right. They're not driving. Now they're drinking beer when the law says they shouldn't, but they're not driving, and that's keeping them alive.
Yeah.
And that's more important than how many arrests did we make last night.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
we kept people alive last night, and that's much more important to me.
Yeah. Now that one you were talking about, were all those kids accounted for? Nobody got.
Yeah, nobody got hurt or injured.
Good.
That night.
Good.
I do think, I shouldn't say that. If I remember correctly, one kid got his arm cut going through the broken window.
Yeah.
But nobody
ran over the ice on the lake and fell through or anything like that.
No, we were fortunate.
Well, I don't know if they were anywhere near the lake, but yeah.
So sounds like we talk about your experiences. So as like you think back and you know you've accomplished much, but what's the one or two cases or moments when you were most proud of your department, of the sheriff's office?
Well, from a management standpoint and an administrative standpoint, we built a new jail. We passed that on the very first ballot. The first time it was put on the ballot, that doesn't happen. People do not want to pay for the bad guys. I got invited all over the county to talk and to explain why I thought we needed a new jail. And we have a state-of-the-art jail. I still call it the new jail, but it's 15 years old now.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm very proud of that building and the technology that's in it. And the space, that's going to be a good building for a long time to come. From a criminal aspect, and first of all, let me go back to the jail. I don't think I can take credit for the jail. That is a credit to the people of Mercer County that, one, listened to the explanation with an open mind. People, including those of us in government, we don't like to pay taxes either.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're asking for a new tax, and people saw the need, and they were willing to pay for it. So I got it. That goes to the taxpayers. I just got to steer the ship for them. And then from a criminal standpoint, the Ryan Zimmerman case, which I always hate to call it. We referred to it for so long as a Bones case because we didn't know who it was. The bones that were found in the state park on January 3rd, 2016. We didn't have a whole lot of clues that day.
Yeah.
And it took us 6 years to get through it, figure out it was Ryan Zimmerman, figure out who it was. We never gave up. And again, Jeff Gray didn't do that. I authorized the expenditures when they wanted to send things to the lab and when there was costs. I threw my 2 cents worth in when I would meet with the detectives and we would brainstorm. But I'll tell you what, I'll put our detectives up against anybody.
Yeah.
And I mean, they never, ever, ever gave up. They knew deep down, we're going to solve this case someday. Yeah. And they
didn't let it go.
No.
They would not let it go.
We kept going and kept going and kept going. And that case was so bizarre. I mean, I remember times, because every month to 6 weeks, we would have a meeting on it, and they would update me on what they're doing, and we'd share ideas. And some of the stuff that they'd tell me, I'd go, what? I mean, it was a bizarre case. But Ryan Zimmerman should not have died, and we were able to figure it out. My detectives, were able to figure it out with the help of, I mean, our patrol guys were out collecting evidence out at that state park. BCI was there and helped us. The Division of Parks, ODNR, was out there that day. Now, we ended up being the lead, and we handled most of it. Throughout the course of that case, we were in North Carolina. We were in Indiana. We had contact with law enforcement in Pennsylvania. We worked with Columbus PD. It was just an amazing coordination. And eventually, we got... I was going to say the bad guy. Eventually, we got the bad girl.
Yeah.
She's in prison. And now this is going to sound... this goes with the bizarre case at Christmas this year.
Yeah.
I got a Christmas card at the sheriff's office from the girl we sent to prison for the rest of her life.
No kidding.
Wow.
Just thanking us for how well our correction staff treated her. And just and she's doing fine in prison, and she's learning things. I mean, she absolutely is going to be there for 30 years. I mean, after that, she's got the possibility of getting out. But it sounds like maybe she's taking advantage of things in prison and kind of learning. But I don't think I've ever got a Christmas card. I've gotten cards from people we've sent to prison. They're normally not nice. But, I mean, it's just one of those where you go, wow. But, you know, that's a credit to the corrections staff who has to, no matter how bad somebody's been, when they're in our custody, we have to honor their rights, manage their constitutional rights. Remember, that's somebody's mother, father, child, whatever, and we have to treat them the right way. Even somebody that can do something as vicious as what she did.
Yeah.
And, you know, so often, people in those circumstances are in those circumstances because of the way they've been treated by others throughout their year. I mean,
right.
And it's, you know, so it's just interesting when they see people who treat people differently or the way they're supposed to, they you know, recognize that.
Right.
You
know, I didn't think about until just now looking in the archives to see when you were on and explained that case, but it was, I mean, you know, there was Jack, Bill, me, and I think somebody else here, and we, you know, we'd read all the paper, we knew all of that stuff that was going on, and when you're telling us, unfolding all that, those things that you're finally allowed to say, we were sitting here dumbfounded. It's well worth going back and rooting through our archives to find that show that you were on, I'm going to say 2 years ago, when you explained all that, because it's just about 30 or 40 minutes in, it's 20-minute explanation of, are you kidding me? Everything you said was, that, what?
Yeah.
if you want to know what went on there and all the just unbelievable things that our sheriff's department either did themselves or found somebody that could do it, it's just unreal. It is a mini series of just stuff. So that's a good thing to go back and check on.
We have had a lot of TV people, the documentary people that have called and wanted to do, and we've just went, we don't want to get into that. Well, we did at the Attorney General's Conference last year. I had detectives did a presentation for other law enforcement on what did we do right, what did we do wrong, what would we do different if we had to do all over again. But we don't want to sensationalize it. Ryan had a family. Yeah. Sarah, who's in prison, she's got a family. They don't need to go through that. They don't need to go through it.
Yep. And, you know, would it serve some sort of entertainment purpose? Maybe. But, you know, just being able to go in our archives and hear it is plenty good. But, you know, just the fact that you were able to get some sort of mineral thing from the bones and see where that could be, you know, what areas in the country had that in their drinking water. Now, if they'd been drinking well water, they might not have had that, but that could be in the stream that they get their water from too. But you're able to find out is Corbin, Kentucky, and you know, I think you described it as what you thought was a piece of dust on the screen, because it's just this one little spot,
little dot
in Kentucky that had whatever that mineral was in their water that was in those bones, and crazy.
Yeah.
So we touched on the upside. What are some of your toughest moments?
I think probably the hardest one for me was when we had that bad accident in Marion Local. Four young men lost their life that night. You know, when you think about it, you know, somebody ran a stop sign and hit the car. Four people were killed. 2 seconds one way or the other. Either one of those cars, 2 seconds different, they wouldn't have collided.
Yeah.
And that was hard because we lost four young men from a good family. The guy that ran the stop sign came from a good family. He was drinking. He was using drugs. He shouldn't have been driving.
I think his grandfather was a county auditor. I can't remember what it was, but
not just
some hoodlum kid,
right? I can't defend his actions, but he wasn't a bad kid. I mean, bad decision that night. Absolutely bad decision. And I remember Mark Seitz, who's still the fire chief in Chickasaw. He was out there, and I've known Mark for a long time. Mark worked for my dad, or with my dad, way back, so I've known Mark for a long time. Mark's about my age. And when he went with me to the hospital to talk to the families and to explain to the families what happened that night, that was just, that was real, because now, while I wasn't real good friends with all the families, you know, it's Mercer County, it was Marion Township, I knew all those families.
Yeah.
I mean, there were people that I was at least acquainted with, and you knew the name, and I mean, that was hard. I never want to do that again, you know, and that's something that people, I think, don't realize, not just about sheriff's office, but law enforcement in general. We have to go to people's homes when things have happened, whether it's a car crash, whether it's a murder, a suicide, or whatever, and deliver those messages. And it is so hard to look a mother in the eyes and tell them you're never going to see your kid again, or you're never going to see, you know, your mom, dad, whoever happened to die. I've had people cry on my shoulder. I've had people slap me. I've had people that grab a hold of me and won't let go because they don't know how to react. And you know, at least for the deputies and the police officers that are working their shift, they go deliver that message, and once they get help there for the family, clergy members, other family members, whatever, where we leave, that officer or deputy shift isn't over.
Yeah.
Then we go to somebody else. We go to a domestic, or we go wherever, and people wonder why law enforcement isn't always a little cheery and we're fixing everybody's problems. They don't understand what deputies and police officers and state troopers go through and deliver it, and the full range of emotions that you can go through in an 8 or 10 hour shift.
Well, I'm sure that going through those types of things helps kind of establish in your mind what's important. And look, you know what? I want to do whatever I can to make sure that other people don't have to go through that same thing. So it, you kind of drives the drinking and driving thing, or when you have deaths due to overdoses, that, you know, that focus. So I'm sure there's a tie in there. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and talk about a couple other things. What do you want to accomplish in these next couple of years? What'll be on your front burner? And then what are you going to share with the guy that takes your place? So we'll be back right after this.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
Commercial. How did you do that?
Well, since you keep calling looking for everything, we decided we'd use your calls to show how we really do have something for everyone.
So I'm famous now?
Well, semi-famous. This is local radio.
But I want to be famous.
Well, we're famous for having insurance coverage for your home, auto, farm, or business from Ohio Mutual.
I'll have my agents call you to talk about money.
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4800.
Have you checked out Wayne IGA's Grab and Go section lately? You know by now that they carry the popular GenFit meals, but did you know they also have a lot more items ready to go? There are fresh store-made subs, freshly cut fruit cups, several kinds of wraps, and more. And they have their store-made barbecue pork, roast beef, and cream chicken. Also, there are hot meals ready to go at their deli. If you need something quick but you don't want junk food, Wayne IGA has it for you. Here are the basketball broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our Lady Indians will travel to Marion Local, and Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast that game for you, and the NFHS video will be available for the game. Friday, the boys will host the Flyers, and that game will be a Fort Recovery Radio broadcast, which will also be heard on the NFHS video. Saturday, it will be a girls-boys doubleheader, with the Lady Indians traveling down to Franklin Monroe for a varsity-only game starting at 10 a.m. We'll simulcast WPGW for that game, and the NFHS video will not be available for that game. Then on Saturday night, the boys will travel to St. Paris to take on the Graham Falcons. Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast that game, and the NFHS video will be available for that game, and we'll speak with Bill Overla, former Fort Recovery High School principal, before the game. Lots of basketball action this week, so get out and support our Indians teams. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Hi, this is Dave Timmerman with the Sons of the American Legion in Fort Recovery, Ohio. We are having our annual barbecue chicken dinners on February 12th, just $9 each. And you get half a chicken prepared by Romer's Catering, applesauce chips and roll. You can contact Dave Timmerman at 419-852-6916 or Whitey Vogel at 419-852-0316 or any Suns member for tickets. We will be serving from 4 to 6 p.m. on February 12th, and you can eat in or carry out. You can contact any Suns.
Well, not sure what happened there, but we you can contact any Suns member for tickets. That's on Super Bowl Sunday. They're doing their barbecue chicken dinner for the Suns of the American Legion.
That's perfect.
Yep.
Super Bowl Sunday, go Bengals.
Yep, yeah. I hope so.
We'll see if they can pull that off again. Last year I think every step was kind of icing on the cake to a certain extent. This year there was an expectation, especially with that first game.
Right.
You know, if you think about going to Buffalo and beating Buffalo, then going to Kansas City and beating Kansas, that's a pretty good challenge.
Yeah.
Did they do that last year?
Nope. They did have to go to Kansas City, but they didn't have to.
And Joe Burrow has not lost to Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can keep that going. He beat him three times last year.
Yep.
So as you look at your tenure, what has changed the most from 2023 back to 2000, I guess?
I think, and maybe not quite so much in Mercer County, but what law enforcement officers have to go through. It has affected our hiring. It has affected, you know, all this craziness. And I'm not defending everything that law enforcement across the country has done. But I think there's been a change. There's not as much respect for law enforcement. There's not as many people that want to come into it. I do think here in Mercer County, we're still supported by the people of the community. And I think we've got a lot of good young people that work in not just a sheriff's office, but in law enforcement agencies around. But we struggle to get people. I think the internet, you know, when I got elected, we obviously had the internet, but the internet's a lot more popular now, and the internet has kind of shrunk the world.
Yeah,
you know, it used to be, the stuff that's happening in the big cities, we'll see it here in Mercer County maybe in 8 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, now people go online and they see that stuff, so we're seeing the big city type stuff, not as much as they do in the big cities, but we see it here. And we see it a lot more rapidly. You know, if it took 8 to 10 years to get here, we could reach out to our counterparts in the big cities, figure out how they were combating it, and be a little bit more prepared for it.
To deal with all the Amazon trucks.
Yeah.
So, what are you going to miss the most?
The people. I mean, the people at the sheriff's office, people in the community. I love the job. I hate to leave. It's going to bother me to leave. I think it's time. I mean, I think for me, it's the right thing to do. I think elected officials can stay too long. Yep. And I think I'm on that edge. Now, hopefully people aren't ready to throw me out yet, but it is time to get some younger blood in there and some fresh ideas and some new people. And probably what'll bother me is when the new guy comes in and has a great idea and it goes real good, and I'm going, why didn't I think of that? But the sheriff's office is very important to me. The people that work there are important to me because they're the ones that made my job as successful. I mean, I didn't do it. They did it. Hopefully, I had some influence into it, but it's the people that work there. And what I want to see is them taken care of and them continue to grow and get better so that when I'm sitting in a rocking chair on the front porch and that black car with the gold star goes by, I can be proud of that person in it and tell Kay, you know, I hired them.
Yeah.
That's a good deputy going by, and I hired them, and and hopefully made a good decision.
What are you going to miss the least?
Probably delivering death messages. The social media is terrible. I won't mention any names. But if you look
Didn't
at social,
we? Yeah, nah, probably shouldn't.
but I mean, you look at social media, and everybody is there to tell you how to do your job,
yep.
Tell you what you did wrong, and I mean, it's just
and sometimes they know part of the facts.
Yeah,
right. Sometimes they know part of the
right,
facts.
Right, exactly. And I mean, it's frustrating all the social media experts that are out there, and I'm. Getting much better at not reading it. The problem for me is going to be right now, because I'm sheriff, when I see things that aren't accurate, or you see the same people all the time that never have a positive thing to say, I want to get on there and reply, and then I go, no, I'm sheriff, that's not professional. Well, in 2 years, I won't be sheriff. Probably would still be bad if I did it, but I don't know that I'll have that thing to hold me back.
But I tell you what, we're going to take one more break, and I know that B and Bubba have guests this evening, right?
Not till 8:30.
What's
yeah.
that?
Not till 8:30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 8:30. After religion, some of the senior basketball players will be up here.
So, you know, when, like, we come back, I want to ask you about... What are you going to tell the next guy? Okay. So we'll be back right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. 2022 has been an interesting business year, to say the least. Has your business experienced change within your operation? With the Fed increasing short-term rates several times this year, have you reached your mode or dashboard of operation? Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action tailored specifically to your business needs. Because you deserve more than, this is what we have to offer when considering a financial institution. CSG Consulting, 419-852-4049, your partner in planning and making you first.
The Fort Recovery Education Association is sponsoring an all-you-can-eat chili supper on Friday night, January 20th. Serving will be in the high school commons from 4:30 to 6:30 before the boys' basketball game with Marion Local. Tickets will be available at the door for only $6, and kids 5 and under are free. All proceeds benefit the Fort Recovery Education Association Scholarship Fund. Get to the Marion Local Boys basketball game early on January 20th and enjoy the FREA chili supper with all the fixins. Serving from 4:30 to 6:30, our local Psi Iota Xi chapter will be holding their Krispy Kreme fundraiser on Friday, January 20th after the Marion Local basketball game. They're only $10 a dozen, and you'll be the hero at breakfast on Saturday morning. Just remember to grab a dozen or two of Krispy Kreme donuts on your way home or on your way to the Booster Bash at the bowling alley that night. Psi Iota Xi's Krispy Kreme Donut Sale, Friday, January 20th, after the boys' basketball game with Marion Local.
We're back. Insight. Wrapping things up with Sheriff Jeff Gray. Jeff, it is always a pleasure. I always learn a lot, enjoy getting in touch with you, and you're not having to blow into one of your tube type things that you guys
always make you do every weekend.
Yeah.
After you've been to the wineries.
That's right. So,
well, I got two more years, so you guys can have me back on. Since I'm not running again, I really don't have to hold anything back.
We'll see about that. I'm going to bring Bill back next time. See if
there you go.
See if that's the case.
You got him on that one, didn't you, Jack?
I'll be at Zeringer's place when Bill's here.
There you go. So as like you think about the new guy coming in, okay, and you put yourself in his shoes 22 years ago, okay, what are going to be those pearls of wisdom that you'll share with him to help him be successful when he takes over the holster?
Well, obviously, I have somebody that I'm working with now that I want to win. I'm going to do everything legally that I can to help him win. If he doesn't and somebody else wins after that election, I'll bring him into the office and try to work with them and get them acquainted, because that's an obligation. I owe that person and the people of Mercer County to keep the sheriff's office running smooth. But I think the first thing for any sheriff is you get to pick your command staff. I mean, that's something that's different. Like I said, police departments, it's all by test. Sheriff's office, you pick your command staff.
So explain command staff.
That would be like the chief deputies, the captains, the people that help me run the place, the high up administrative people. I've got 10 people on my command staff.
Okay.
Pick those people well and surround yourself with people that you trust. Not people that will say, oh yeah, you're wonderful, that's great. People that will walk in your office after meeting, shut the door and go, I think you're messing that one up. I've had that happen several times over the last 22 years. Sometimes where I explain and they go, oh, okay, I didn't understand that. But a lot of times where after we have the conversation, I go, ooh, that was a bad decision. And they keep you from making that bad decision. So surround yourself with people you trust and people that aren't afraid to come in and tell you when they think you're stepping in it.
Yep.
Another thing, and I was a little slow at learning this, but Jerry Laffin helped me out a whole lot on this. Get along with the other elected officials. Stay in your lane. It's not my job to go tell the county commissioners, don't give this other office money because I need it. My job's the sheriff's office. That's what I need to focus on. Stay in your lane. Get along with the other county elected officials. Don't say anything negative about the other county elect. Even if you've got something, if you don't like something another elected official is doing, you go to their office, talk to them in private. You don't put it on the front page of the newspaper. You don't.
Yeah, but isn't that what social media is for?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose I could do that. But I mean, you got to have those relationships. Understand too that the news media, the day that you become the sheriff, anything in law enforcement in the county, the news media is going to consider you an expert. So be careful what you say, because they're going to print it, and they're going to think you're an expert, even if it's something you don't know anything about. So just being cautious about that. Allow your employees to have input. They're the ones out there doing it. You know, I used to work the road, but that was 22 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't think I could write a speeding ticket now.
Oh, that's good news. So
yeah.
We can go home. We can go as fast as we want to.
And you know, I guess the other thing is you won an election. Don't let it go to your head. And just because you won an election doesn't mean you're the smartest or best cop in the county. It simply means you ran a better campaign than the other guy did. Yep. I mean, that's it. And you have to win the campaign before you can be sheriff. But don't let it go to your head. And it's a great job. For the most part, it's a great job. Even on the bad days and when something terrible happens, you can go home feeling like, okay, as bad as this was, I helped that family or I helped that person, and hopefully I had an impact on people that helps them move forward with whatever bad that happened in their life.
So what is on your front burner from a sheriff's department standpoint for the next couple of years?
Well, obviously, getting the guy that I want, Owen Hall, you guys probably all remember Hall. Owen was chairman of the Republican Party when I got elected. And he said, what you owe the Republican Party is a good Republican to take your place when you're ready to go. Well, I have that lined up. Owen's gone now. He did a lot for me. I'm honoring my commitment to him.
Yep. So now it would be a good time to announce who that is.
Yeah, keep trying.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that'll come out tomorrow or the next day.
Okay.
And I know that person's listening. So, but anyhow, you know, I want to work with them and get them ready to go. And I feel like we've made a lot of progress. We still have a drug problem in this county, but we've made a lot of progress. There's a lot of people that we've arrested that have been in jail. We've gotten programs that actually have got their lives turned around and got themselves into recovery. And I'm proud of that. That's somebody's son, daughter. I want to continue to do that and hopefully help as many
That's people. Not an easy road, you know, and to expect to go into something like that and succeed the first time isn't realistic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it just isn't that easy to kick.
Right. Unless you're a law enforcement officer arresting these people or your family's been touched by it, you don't understand it.
Yeah.
And when we first started seeing this stuff in the county, I didn't understand it. I've learned from those people, and a lot of the people, we have a lot of people in jail that have drug problems, aren't bad people. They're not the typical criminal.
Yeah. The ones that if you were just see them on the street, you think, well, that isn't one of them.
Yeah.
Maybe you see going down the street, well, that's got to be a druggie. Well, they might not be. And right. then the ones that you're sure aren't can be.
Yeah. It
catches people. All you have to do is just get caught with it, you know, not get like nabbed, but use it once and you're addicted.
Right.
And that's not always the case with one time, but, you know, you get addicted and it's forever to get loose.
No. Right. So, even the people that are in recovery now and doing well, they're battling it every day.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Can I say one thing?
Nope.
You can say two things.
I'm Jeff Gray's biggest fan, but I am very disappointed.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Why is that?
How come we didn't get the armored vehicle?
that all Glaze County got?
We got a $200,000 state.
Humvee.
And we didn't get it.
No, you could have driven it up here tonight.
Yeah.
So disappointed. You look good driving that in a Prius.
Yeah.
No, we can invite Auglaize County over to drive to be in our parade.
We don't want them over here. We just want that vehicle.
What we do is we have an agreement with Auglaize County, so we don't have an SRT team, and they do. And those things are expensive.
SRT, what's SRT?
Special weapons and tactics, special response teams.
Okay.
So like a SWAT team.
Yep.
They have that. It takes a lot of people to do that. And smaller agencies, I mean, sometimes when they're out and they went to some training, they sent so many people, they called us and they said, hey, if we have something where we need detectives, can you guys cover for us? So every agency doesn't have it. So we have an agreement, and we've had them over here for us a few times. So we help them with crash reconstruction because I have a crash reconstruction team. They have an SRT team, yeah. And we kind of share some resources on those things that are expensive.
So can, like, you talk to them and see if Bubba can get a ride in it? I mean, that's all we're really looking for.
I do know the sheriff over there. He's probably not going to let you drive it.
But can he shoot some of the guns?
Yeah.
One last question. What do you want your legacy to be?
I guess I want people hopefully to look at the sheriff's office 22 years ago and where we are today and feel like we've went the right direction and we've made good decisions. And I want people to remember me as a servant of the people. I love this job. I mean, there's been a lot of benefits to me on it. Hopefully people don't think it went to my head, and they realize I'm in it for them more than I'm in it for me.
Well, Jeff, I tell you what, I appreciate everything you've done for the county and Fort Recovery, and I hope your next 2 years go really, really smooth and help you accomplish those things.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. So,
Bobby, anything, Dad?
No, he's pretty good, Sheriff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, stay tuned for Sports Talk. I think you got a bunch of seniors coming in.
Yep.
Jeff, thanks, buddy. We will probably talk to you again before the end of your term, and I wish you well.
Yeah, and you're going to talk to me on the radio, or you're going to talk to me when you get in trouble?
Probably both.
Yeah, he'll see you. He'll see you when he's in the cell. He'll wave at you as you walk by. But we do appreciate, you know, as we talked earlier, you were our absolute first guest on Insight, and this is probably your fifth or sixth time, maybe even more. Probably about once a year. We've been doing it 8 years, and we always get straight answers from you. And it's great that you're not afraid to say what you're allowed to say, and even though we kid you and prod you on things you're not allowed to say, like who's going to be announcing for sheriff, but we do appreciate you coming on and being straight up front with us every time you've been on. We appreciate that a lot.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yep. So everybody, stay tuned for Sports Talk coming up with Bubba and Fee. They have the seniors from the basketball team coming up. So until next time, Jack and Neil.
Yep.
For Sheriff Gray, we're out.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard there.